Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Prosperity Podcast. This is no BS money guy, Todd Strobel. And once again, we have my co-host and best-selling financial author, Kim Butler, with us. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Todd. Happy to be here and so happy to answer a client question today.
Yes, a big deal for us to serve our clients. So keep those questions coming. Anything you want to know, we will be glad to make a quick show on it. And today we're going to be talking about how insurance companies get paid and how insurance companies make money. And this is important because they have a model that has consistently made money during some of the worst periods in history. Most of these insurance companies are over 100 years old. Specifically, we're talking about life insurance companies, and they have been through depressions, they've been through recessions, 9-1-1, and they've continued to pay dividends to their clients each and every year. So whatever they're doing right, and Kim is going to explain to us today how that model works.
Well, I'm so grateful for the question. You know, it's really one that we should cover in almost every conversation, and yet I rarely get asked this question. So the question again is, how do the insurance companies make money? And specifically, if they're paying a dividend to the policyholders, then how do they get money to pay that dividend? And if they're investing premiums and those dollars are invested, then how is there cash to allow the insurance holder or the policy holder to use that cash anytime they want? So I'm actually going to go backwards because it's important to understand how insurance companies invest money. And they do buy things for the long term. They do a lot of 30-year commercial mortgages, large mortgages. I actually have quite a bit of background in the commercial real estate industry. And the large deals, so think about when an entire building gets sold, an entire apartment building or entire office building, all of those large deals are typically financed by insurance companies, not by banks. And so these deals enable the insurance company to have a long-term structure that's very secure, because typically buildings like that have a lot of different tenants in them. And that's a nice long-term investment for the insurance company. And then when the insurance company lends us money, so let's be clear on this. When we have a cash value policy, we are borrowing against that policy, or you could say that we are borrowing from the insurance company, then the insurance company is giving us cash. They're giving us their cash. Our cash stays in there and continues to earn. They're giving us their cash. So how are they able to do this if they're fully invested in all these long-term deals? And the answer is that most insurance companies are reserved dollar for dollar. So let's compare that to banks, which if an insurance company is reserved dollar for dollar, meaning if you have a dollar in your cash value, they have a dollar that represents that dollar. At a bank, if you have a dollar in a savings account, the bank has somewhere between 7 and 10 cents for that dollar. So that's a massive difference. So the insurance companies are either reserved dollar for dollar or $1.20 for dollar. I've even seen reserve levels as high as $1.40 per dollar. So they have liquidity themselves that they are able to turn around and lend us when we want to do deals. Is that making sense so far, Todd?
It does. I mean, you're talking about how insurance companies invest the cash that they have on hand. I think the other side of it is the actuarial side, where, you know, they're pricing products and understanding the human lifespan, and the products themselves are generating a profit.
Absolutely. So Think about the business model of an insurance company. And frankly, this is where they get the bulk of their ability to pay dividends. It's from the profit of their business model. Now, remember, as a policyholder, we are entitled to 100% of the profits after reserves of the insurance company. That's an incredible feature of a mutual company. So we're talking Guardian, New York Life, Mass Mutual, Northwestern Mutual, Penn Mutual, Mutual Trust, America United, Ameritas. Those are all Lafayette Life. Those are all examples of mutual companies. And so their business model, again, in existence for 120, 150, 180 years, is to collect premiums, reserve dollars, and then pay claims. But because the claims paying ability, and again, we're just talking life insurance companies, because the car and home insurance company arena is a completely different ballgame. But when we're talking life insurance, the claims paying ability is obviously most of the time a 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, even 100 year payout structure. And so the insurance company collects all these premiums for years and years and years and years and years. And as we're all well aware, one of the products that they offer is term insurance. And so think about all of the term insurance that's all across this country as group life. Think about all the term insurance that's sold as mortgage insurance. Think about all the term insurance that people buy. You and I buy it because we want to fulfill our human life value. We can't always do that with whole life, so we use term insurance as the differentiating dollar figure to meet our human life value, which human life value is the maximum amount of insurance that we can get. All of these term insurance policies, the statistics show that less than 1%, some of the statistics show it's even less than 0.5% ever pay a claim. And yet, the insurance company has to reserve for these dollars in case they do have to pay a claim, because sometimes there is a death that exists inside the term of time that that term insurance policy is for. But for all of the death claims that they don't have to pay, those are dollars that they keep as a profit, they set aside reserves, and then they pay all of the profit out as dividends. And that is the bulk of their dividend paying ability.
And I would like to point out that the reason that those claims are not paid is because the insured has canceled the policy. They stop making the premiums. It's not that they figure out ways not to pay the premiums. It's just that, you know, a term insurance, sometimes people get it and then they just stop for whatever reason. It's not in the budget anymore, so they quit making the premiums. Or there's a renewal, and this is something you have to be so careful with term insurance, particularly if you're buying longer term insurance, like a 20-year term policy. You know, you can go from a $500 a year policy to a $15,000 a year policy, and it just prices itself out before you get old enough to pass away. So that's why that it happens. I didn't want our listeners thinking that the insurance companies are out there thinking of ways not to pay claims.
Yes, it's interesting. I had a conversation this week with a client who said, I have a really good friend that works for an insurance company. And he looked me straight in the eyes and said, we steal money from people legally. And so I let him tell me that story. And then I said to him, do you happen to know, does he work for a mutual company or a stock company? Now, this particular person didn't know the difference, so I explained. And he said, I don't know. We both popped on the web, looked it up. And that particular person that was making the statement about stealing money from people legally was at a public company, a stock company. And furthermore, they had a lot of other types of insurance. They were not strictly focused on life insurance. So there are so many things that get lumped into this word insurance. And we absolutely must separate out life insurance from all the other types of insurances, literally disability, home, car, liability, you name it. All other insurances protect an if event, an IF event. Life insurance protects a WHEN event, a W-H-E-N event. And because of that, it must be looked at differently than any other insurance. And consequently, that's why you have companies that offer primarily life insurance. Most of the big ones have a couple other, you know, they'll have disability or maybe a small health department or something like that. But the bulk of them are specific to the life insurance industry. And so they are very, very good at it. Like you said, they have actuarial statistics for years and years and years, and sometimes decades and sometimes even centuries. And they use that to their advantage.
And we absolutely want to do business with a profitable company because we're paying a monthly or an annual premium in exchange for a promise to pay sometime in the future. And usually that's a long time in the future. That's why the companies we do business with, you know, they've been in business for over 100 years. They continue to pay dividends so that there's a nice living benefit. But, you know, in the end, we're hoping to, you know, help our families or our charities or whatever. So we want to make sure that we are doing business with a profitable company. And what amazes me is that, you know, these companies have been able to be profitable while all the other companies around them in many different industries are not. So my hat's off to the conservative nature that they have, and yet still be able to pay a good rate of return. What are our clients getting today on their whole life policies?
Right around 4.5% to 5%. And if you're in the maybe age 70 range, it might be just a little under 4%, but that's certainly better. And we work so hard to know that we need to compare the life insurance company rates to a savings account rate, or maybe a CD rate, or for sure also a money market rate. And then remember that that's not taxed. So 4%, if we just pick a number in the middle of all that, compared to less than 1%, and no tax versus tax, it's a big difference.
Super. Well, I know we're having a little bit of audio quality problems here, and I apologize for that. But we're going to kind of wrap this up now. Again, we encourage you to go to partners4prosperity.com. And this is No BS Money Guy for the Prosperity Podcast saying thank you, Kim Butler, and take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.